James chapter 4 is where we're going to be, and we're going to do things slightly different. We're going to jump right into praying, and then we'll read the text together. As I pray, I want to encourage you to search your heart. If there's some sin that you brought in this morning, confess that to the Lord. Don't allow that sin to hinder your receptiveness to the preaching of the Word of God. And, you know, worship involves every element of what we do on a Sunday morning. And that includes the preaching. And let's get everything we can. We went to the ball game, what was that, Friday night? So there, we ended up, it was a doubleheader. And so we got our money's worth. And some would say you got more than your money's worth. So maybe you're ready to leave far before the game was over. But when you come to church, let's get our money's worth, so to speak, in the sense of let's really just absorb everything that God has for us. And so as I pray, I want to encourage you to pray and really seek the Lord, ask Him to speak to you, and ask Him to help me to preach His Word. Let's pray. Father, we are complete in Jesus Christ, and the only merits, the only authority that we have to come before You this morning is because of Jesus. One God, one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Thank You that we can come boldly before Your throne of grace to obtain mercy, to find grace to help in time of need. Lord, we are a needy people. We need You. Lord, we ask that You would speak to our hearts. Lord, calm our spirits. Lord, that we would rest in You. Lord, we'd be receptive to the Word that You have for us, and help us in our relationships. Lord, to have relationships that are filled with peace, peace that only comes from Christ. Lord, I pray that You would help me to clearly convey Your Word today. And Lord, may we respond with obedient hearts, humble hearts, and we will give You the thanks and the praise. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. James chapter 4, verses 1 through 10. And the title of the message this morning is, Can't We All Just Get Along? This past week, probably no one had any friendly discussions, or arguments, or fights, so this message probably is pointless. No, from time to time, there are situations that come up, and we want to handle these in a biblical way, and we find the answer here in James chapter 4. Follow along with me, James chapter 4, verse number 1. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lust that war in your members? You lust and have not, you kill and desire to have, and cannot obtain. You fight and war, but ye have not, because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lust. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Do you think that the Scripture saith in vain, The Spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? But He giveth more grace. Wherefore He saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted, and mourn, and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning, and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up. One dad shares the following story, and he writes, There they were at it again. the 27th verbal gunfight of the month. It started over nothing and accomplished little except to feed the fire for the next go-around. I waited and listened, increasingly angry that I would have to play referee for another time. One cut down followed another. They fought with skill and commitment, using words to inflict pain. Finally, I had had enough. Daddy had had enough. I told them what I thought of the petty little self-centered wars and marched upstairs. They said I didn't understand, and I said I had forgotten more than they ever could understand. Started blaming each other and me for not doing something sooner. Suddenly, I began to hear myself. I wasn't the peacemaker that I intended to be. I became another gunslinger. The conflict did not end with my presence. In fact, it widened. Not too long after, I asked them to be silent for a moment. I asked for their forgiveness and prayed. Afterwards, we sat down and talked about living in the house of gunslingers. It comes from Paul Tripp, who has written many wonderful books about relationships, how people change, helping people change. Can you relate? Can you relate this morning? I know I can. There are conflicts that come in our lives. Conflicts are unavoidable because we live in a fallen world. They are going to happen. We can lessen those number of conflicts. And when those conflicts come, we can handle them in a way that's biblical and glorifies the name of Jesus Christ, because that's really what it's all about. We're not going to get it right every time, but we want to glorify Jesus in our relationships. Did you have some fights this past week? And I'm not asking for a show of hands here. Maybe you expressed moments of extreme irritation towards someone. Maybe even someone you love. Are there certain people that push your buttons? Maybe even things that drive you crazy on a daily basis. I think all of us would be humbled to a great degree if we had a video shown of our relationships in the past week. We would be probably humbled by the reality of the strife that is there. And the peace that God wants to provide within our homes is lacking. The fighting over money, who spends what, who sits where in the car, that never happens in our household, never. Who eats the last cookie? That's the dad's cookie, isn't it? Amen? Amen. Kids, stay out of the last cookie. It's my cookie. Or how about Sunday morning, it's getting into the bathroom. I wish we had 8 bathrooms. That'd be really nice if we had 8 bathrooms in our house. So the person needs to go into the bathroom, whatever they're needing in there. Somebody's in there. Is there somebody in there? Yeah, the door's closed. Why else would the door be closed? There's somebody in there. And yeah, it's really puzzling why we bang on the door when the door's closed. Yeah, somebody's in there. And we can't wait until that person gets out so we can get into the bathroom. The arguing over various and sundry things, and sometimes, yeah, they're big things. And really, a lot of times, they're piddly things if we really think about it in the scheme of things. There are more serious conflicts, for sure. Maybe a marriage that has deteriorated to the cycle of irritations and unkind comments, the many wars, M-I-N-I, many wars that ensue. Maybe it's the guy at your department at work, critiques everything you do and is so helpful. You walk long distances to avoid that individual. There are conflicts all around. All around. And we need to handle these conflicts in a way that does please the Lord. The Bible does tell us in Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 20, only by pride cometh contention, but with the well-advised is wisdom. And another word for wisdom there is healing. It's pride that raises up and causes contention and strife within our homes. It's my pride that causes conflict in my marriage and with my kids and in my own home. It's my own personal pride. Conflicts are the consequence, and I want you to grab a hold of this. Conflicts are the consequence of control issues. Okay, so we're going to have conflict to no end. I'm going to have conflict to no end when I want control. I want that control, and behind that desire for control is pride. It's pride. So let's really examine our relationships and where we are striving for that control. Address the root of your fruit. Where you desire for control, and allow God to come along like the sculptor and just chisel away those controlling desires. And let Him form a masterpiece of Christ-likeness where I don't have to have my way. Where I'm looking on the things of others, not in a covetous way. Look not every man on his own things, but on the things of others and how I can be a blessing to other people in meeting their desires and their needs. In James chapter 4, he uses conflict to give us a significant insight into the heart's daily struggle. And he wants us to examine the fruit of conflict by asking, what causes it? What causes the conflict? There are four truth statements here that if we would really sink our teeth into these truth statements and we would think about them, we can get some practical help and we can get hope in our relationships where those ensuing fights come about and those intense moments of fellowship come about. We can get the victory. If you're taking notes this morning, number one, I want you to notice with me the first truth statement in really having a help in resolving conflict. Number one, external conflicts begin internally. What did James say here? From whence come wars and fightings among you? They come as a result of your spouse. They come as a result of your coworker. They come as a result. No, that's not what he says, does he? Notice what he says. Come they not hence even of your lust that war in your members? Fights and quarrels come from desires that are waging war in your heart and in my heart. The desire to be in control. I saw this past week a fight that broke out between two Major League Baseball players. The one guy hit a double. It was a definite double. He slid into second base. The other guy, I think he might have been the shortstop, came along, stood over the top of him and tagged him and stayed there for just probably a moment longer than what he should have. The guy who got tagged, which was obviously safe, he didn't need to be tagged, he jumped up. The guy who tagged him threw off his glove and got his fist out there. And before long, the guy who had gotten tagged had decked the guy, the shortstop or whatever the position player was, and literally knocked him to the ground. What is behind that kind of stuff? It's the desire for control. What right did he have to stand over the top of me and tag me with his glove? Really? That's childish. It's immature, but yet we can fall prey to those same things in letting our desires rule us. In the heart of every person is a fount of competing desires. I went to fill up the baptistry for Kylie's baptism early this week, and I turned it on and let it go, and I came back, and it was brown. So I left it. I thought Kylie would probably appreciate. No, I did not leave the brown, mucky water there. thought, man, that's not good. I think maybe in the course of things, the power had gone out, et cetera, the well, but got the dirt out, got the muck out, and then it started coming out clear. But what's inside is it's coming out, isn't it? And so as we look at our hearts are ruled by desires. Good, not so good desires. But that desire can actually, and I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself here, but that desire can actually become an idol. Follow along with me. If my heart is totally ruled by desire or desires, there are two ways in which I can respond. So if my life is totally ruled by my desires and what I want, I can respond two ways. If you're doing what I want, man, life's good. I'm happy. We're happy. Rachel's doing what I want. Kids are doing what I want. Man, life is good. But when they don't do what I want, if desires are ruling in that relationship, there's the ensuing anger. There's the ensuing displeasure in that. I will be very unhappy. And discouragement will follow even when I'm with them. You see, the problem is not the situation around us. The problem is not the people around us. The problem is me. It's me. It's me, oh Lord. I just need to take a good, long, hard look in the mirror and say, it's me. The reason I have conflict, the reason that there's this strife and this tension, it's me. Because desire is ruling my heart and I'm seeking for control, I am not being shaped by Christ. It is nothing more than idolatry. Take a look at Colossians 3 and verse number 5. Notice what the Bible says here. The term mortify means to kill. Okay, if we don't put the flesh to death by the power of Christ in us, it will rise up and it will take over and it will want more and more and more. Mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, the strong appetites or desires there, typically of a sexual nature, that word. And then notice the last phrase, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Wanting for me what I want. And so understand, when we have these conflicts, these external conflicts that are going on around us, the cause is internal. And we need to examine our hearts and understand what is it that I am craving that is causing me to get angry. Because conflict is the consequence of control issues. Number two, what do we need to grab a hold of here? The second truth statement, what controls your heart controls your behavior. What controls my heart will control my behavior. Guaranteed. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23 says, keep thy heart. Guard your heart. Keep it with all diligence, for out of the issues of the heart, for out of the heart are the issues of life. I think I butchered that a little bit. But the emphasis is, okay, what's inside? What's inside? What's in that heart is going to control my behavior. Take your Bibles and go to James chapter 3. James chapter 3 and verses 9 through 18. Notice what the Word of God tells us here pertaining to our relationships. Therewith bless we God, verse number 9, James 3. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Another way of saying made after the image of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Doth the fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive trees, either a vine fig? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh? Who is a wise man endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation or good conduct, good behavior, his works with meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and strife in your hearts, glory not, lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual. The idea being that the natural man there, devilish, and for where envy and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. Notice in contrast, verse 17, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. One other passage of Scripture, Matthew chapter 12. I'll have you write it down and I'll just read it for you. Matthew chapter 12 and verses 34 and 35. Talking about the truth that what's in our heart is going to control our behavior. Matthew 12 and verses 34 and 35. He's speaking to the Pharisees here and he says these words, O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? And then notice what he says, for out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. What's inside is coming out. At our house, we have a debate on how much sugar should go into the tea. How many sweet people do we, actual sweet people? Okay, these are the sweet people in here. Look around, these are real sweet, kind people. My hand is up, I love sweet tea. And I will have to say, Caden does make it a little too sweet sometimes, but hey, it's all good. I love my sugar, so bring on the sugar, and then he gets chastised by his mom. But when you make tea, you add pressure to that, right? And that hot water, you're not going to just have a tea bag and put that in some cold water and hey, there you go, you got tea. But the pressure from the outside is revealing what's on the inside. What is being revealed in our hearts in those moments? What's in there that we need to say, wow, that's ugly. That's sin. I need to confess that. I need to repent of that. I need to forsake that. And by the power of Christ, I need to walk in freedom. How do desires that James describes here take control of our hearts? I want you to notice a downward spiral here. Okay, it begins with a desire. So speak to me this morning. Are there good desires? Yes or no? Are there good desires? Yes, right? Cookies, good desire? Yes. Sweet tea? Yes. Burgers? Yes. We could go on and on about food, right? Going fishing? Yes, good desire. And we do know there's sinful desires. There are definite desires. The Bible says that is sin. But what I want us to think about this morning is desires that are otherwise good. Okay, so the desire is, I want. That's not necessarily anything wrong. I want a clean van. I just want a clean van, that's all. How many of you desire that, but you know it's impossible? Okay, so that's a good desire. When I was growing up, my vehicles were absolutely meticulous. I mean, no speck of nothing inside those vehicles. That's a good desire to have a clean vehicle. But that desire can become a demand. I must have a clean van. The desire in the relationship is no longer an expression of God, love for God and man, but something I crave for myself, that clean vehicle. From desire to demand, it moves to a need. That desire becomes absolutely essential. I will have a clean van. I will. And then the expectation, you should. You should keep this van clean. And I'm not talking about normal teaching here. Okay, there's a time and a place for normal teaching, but I'm talking about where this desire is going to end up. It's going in a bad direction. It's going in a sinful place here. Where the relationship in the area of expectation, that relationship is affected and hurt happens and wounds are inflicted. There is that speaketh like the piercings of a sword. That's painful. That's wounding people with our words and our actions. And then there is that speaketh that brings health and vitality. Expectation. If you all really loved Daddy, you wouldn't make messes in the van. You would get this cleaned up. That's on me. That's sin on me. Disappointment. You didn't. You didn't keep the van clean. I end up taking it personal. And it becomes an affront to me. And then the punishment comes. Because you didn't, I will lash out in anger. Silent treatment. Hurtful words. Vengeance. Violence. Some cases, folks revert to cursing. What controls your heart this morning? What is it? Because that's controlling your behavior. It's controlling my behavior. That's a simple illustration with the vehicle. You can put it into your own life, and you know those areas where you're tempted and have that tendency to have that ruling desire where it ends up going down that downward spiral. Understand conflict comes from control. We want to be in a place where only God is to be. There's one that's sovereign, there's one who's in control, and it's not me. It's Jesus Christ. I know that takes humility on our part to recognize I'm not in control. I cannot control people no matter how hard I try. I cannot control situations no matter how hard I try. Follow along with me. Number three, third truth statement. Number three, idolatry is rooted in spiritual adultery. This is heavy stuff here, but this is the way James puts it. And the idolatry that I'm speaking of here is the idolatry that ends in human conflict. But notice again, it is rooted in spiritual adultery. Let's go back to James. James chapter 4 and verse number 4. And this, what he mentions here at the beginning, this is referring to spiritual adultery. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. How would you react if your husband plopped down on the couch next to you and said, "Of all the women I love, I think I love you most tonight"? You'd probably get killed. There would be conflict. That's ludicrous, isn't it? That is a very unwise statement, but follow along with me. Do we not commit spiritual adultery with God when we are loving things and we are wanting things done our way, people to function the way that we want, more than we love God Himself? That's spiritual adultery. Our problem is not sinful people or situations. And I know there's difficult situations. Do not downplay that. I'm not saying that you may not be dealing with a very, very hard situation. But the problem is not the situation. The problem is not the people. The problem is we have spiritual adultery going on. Giving love that belongs to God, giving that to someone else or something else. Mark chapter 12 and verse 30 and 31 puts it this way. Listen to what the Bible says. Actually, I'll pick it up at verse 29, Mark chapter 12. And Jesus answered him, "The first of all the commandments, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment." You see, if I love God with all of my being, I'm going to love people the way that I should. I'm going to love them through the love that Christ has given to me. But when self-love comes into play and those desires are ruling me, oh, look out. Look out. Massive conflict is on the way. Conflict comes from control. So we have to examine ourselves. Examine our hearts. Examine our lives. Where am I adding fuel to the fight, fuel to the fire? Where do I need to make some changes? And change is not found in anger management, the controlling of my temper. I'm going to do better at this, but in addressing the root of the fruit, the idols that are driving your anger, the idols that are driving my anger. When I get to the root of it, then we start getting some change. Follow along with me, the fourth and final truth statement. Submission is the key to transformation. In James chapter 4, he writes about this. Submission being the key to transformation. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. And verse number 9 speaks really, it's not just telling us to go around with a mournful spirit. Hey, I love a good laugh. That's one of my favorite times is just, you know, having a good time with my family and laughter. So he's not saying here, just walk around with a mournful spirit and a mopey spirit. He's actually talking here about our response to our sin. So if I recognize that I have a controlling desire and it's creating massive conflicts in my relationships, I need to be broken by that. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. The psalmist put it this way, "Search me, O God, and know my heart." Search me. Examine me. Try me and know my thoughts. God, see if there be any wicked way in me, any ruling, controlling desire, and lead me in the way everlasting. Great prayer that we need to pray from our hearts as we consider our relationships and our conflicts that arise. And so, in the area of transformation, real transformation comes in a changed behavior. He says in James chapter 4, wash or cleanse your hands, ye sinners. Wash your hands. Is it a good idea for us to wash our hands before we eat? Yeah. Okay, I disagree. I don't see any point in it, really. Anybody with me on that? Okay, nobody's with me on that. But if I come to the table and I've been working on the car, Kaylee's car, yes, I have bonded with that car, and I come in with grubby, black, dirty, nasty hands, and I sit down at that table, more than likely Rachel's going to say, "No, you're not eating with those. Go wash your hands, young man. Go clean up." Because I'm not welcomed to eat with those unwashing hands. You know, to sit at the table of God, it's only through clean hands, through the power of Jesus Christ, through the forgiveness of Jesus Christ. But you know, we will sin after we're saved. And we will allow those ruling desires to take over in our relationships. And for transformation to occur, to have those cleansed hands, we need to stop doing some things. Not just saying, I'm gonna do better, I'm gonna try harder. Really to cry out to Christ, say, Christ, I know you died for this sin on the cross. I believe I can be set free from this sin once and for all and have peace in my relationships. Help me to have those clean hands. Peace in the relationship, because it is sin that hinders our fellowship with God. And so confess that sin, repent of it, forsake it, get it right. And the promise is there. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to cleanse us from all faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He will. And allow Him to change your heart. It says, purify your hearts, ye double-minded. If we really want to get to the root of the fruit, we've got to get our hearts changed. Just lay it out before the Lord. God, I want a heart that is not so bent on my way. I recognize it's causing some problems in my relationship. I want a heart that fully loves you, that loves you with all of my heart, that leads to loving people the way that I should. Conflict is the consequence of control issues. The good news is when we come to the Lord with broken hearts for our sin, we draw nigh to God, and He will draw what? Nigh to us. You can be as close to God as you want to be. Get out those ruling desires. Remove them. Purge them from your life. And that fellowship and that closeness and the walk with God that you once had can be restored, and your relationships can be restored. In all conflict, there is hope, there is help, there is provision. His name is Jesus. He's given us the Holy Spirit, power to fight temptation, to overrule those desires that come along that create so much grief. And so I finish with some questions. As you deal with your daily situations and relationships, what tends to control your heart? Identify it, crucify it in Christ. Is it the controlling desire for quietness and comfort? More money, more toys. Is it a controlling desire for pleasure, recreation? Maybe it's the controlling desire for approval of others. Or things to be in their places. Nice things. Car gets scratched, Laffy Taffy gets, you know, permanently glued to the carpet. What is it? And it's really these little things that end up festering and end up coming massive, massive problems if we just realized, man, that's a controlling desire right there. That's wrong. I don't need to allow this to get the best of me and hurt and hinder my relationships. Maybe it's a controlling desire for people to behave the way you want. You know the book, Five Love Languages? It's all fine and good unless we use that as a tool of manipulation. Well, you're not loving me the way that I should be love. That then becomes a ruling desire. Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 20, only by pride cometh contention. God wants us to have peace. He's come to give us peace with Him through Jesus Christ. He's come to give us peace within when the storms of life are brewing, and He's come to give us peace with one another. It's possible. Can't we all get along? Absolutely. Absolutely. If we would put into practice the principles of James chapter 4 and recognize Jesus Christ has come to bring peace. How about it this morning? Is there a controlling desire that you need to just say, I'm giving that to the Lord? We're going to have an invitation here in just a little bit. And I want to encourage you, if there's a controlling desire that God has brought to your mind, just come to the front, lay it before the Lord and say, God, I'm giving that to you. Deliver me from that. Help me in my relationships to have the peace that only God can provide. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. And Lord, you've given us everything that we need for life and godliness. And that goes as well into our relationships. Lord, I think it would be unanimous. All of us in here desire peace. We want peace in our relationships. It's no fun to have constant strife. That's our flesh that would clamor for that. Lord, I pray that in our relationships we would glorify you, root out control issues, that the conflict may be lessened, and that we would glorify you in how we interact with one another. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's